Hello and welcome to the Aspiring Podcaster. I am your host Mehroz, and each week we will be diving deep into the fascinating world of podcasting, exploring the highs, the lows, and the thrilling journey in between. From first-time mic users to seasoned pros, we have got stories that will inspire, educate, and entertain. And speaking of making podcasting dreams a reality, a big shout out to our sponsor Podcast Bunny. They are the wizards behind the scenes, helping podcasters in producing and launching their podcast. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of The Aspiring Podcaster. Today I am joined by Lars Tweede. He is an investor, entrepreneur, and best-selling author from Switzerland. He has written 18 books and founded 13 companies. Welcome to the show, Lars.
Thank you very much, and thank you for pronouncing my name almost correct, because I'm actually a Danish national, and you in Denmark we have something called a soft D. So instead of Tweede, it's actually Tweede. nobody except Danes say that, I think.
Let's jump into today's episode. So how did you first discover podcasting?
It's at least I can't remember how many years ago, but I was sailing around in the Mediterranean, and we had a former head of sales from one of my companies, former head of sales from the US. And then he just said, Lars, this podcast thing is going bananas in the US. And it was really beginning in the US. And he said, you know, this is going to explode everywhere. And then I got interested in it, and then since then, I have used listening to podcasts as filling in my idle moments. In particular, I love when I'm traveling to listen to good podcasts, because that's the only thing that really works. If I'm sitting in a car, yeah, I can also do phone calls, but I run podcasts, and sometimes, you know, interrupted by phone calls if I'm in an airplane or something like that, I listen to podcasts, and it gives me a lot.
Mm-hmm. So starting with, what were your initial challenges when you started podcasting?
And in the beginning, I was just doing some on my own, and there was no system to it, really. It was just I would just be interested in something, and I would just turn on my phone or my screen. And the first thing, of course, is a very practical thing, is that most of the people, they see it or listen on a mobile phone, and very often want to turn off the sound. So you need to have text on. So that was something that I got somebody to help me with. Fortunately, this has become easier and easier over time. But I was approached over a year ago by a leading media company in Denmark that wanted to do a podcast with me. And it should be called Supertrends, because I have a company called Supertrends, which makes podcasts about technology. And I've written two books, both called Supertrends, different subtitles. And then for the first time, I walked into a professional media setting and experienced how they do it. And, you know, they produce jingles, and they had a outline for how every episode, sometimes we stop and then there's a voice coming in and giving some highlights of subjects and so on. So it was very interesting for me for the first time to experience me being on doing podcasts, but having professional team backing it up. And we have produced about 50 hours of podcast there, and we always have at least one guest, sometimes two or three. So probably had around 100 guests in there. It's quite a lot of work in organizing that, but I'm not doing that work. But
exactly. Like behind the scenes, it's like a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are podcasts with less work, but the ones we do, there's a lot of work, because each episode is about the future of one technology. And then we have to find out who are the leading experts, in this case, who speaks Danish, and then approach them and find out. I have a partner on the podcast, a futurist, and she interviews them and find out what would they say if they asked this and that. And she has to find out who who actually says stuff that will be work well on media, which is interesting for our audience, etc. So yeah, so there are about 7 people involved in every podcast. So I'm just a small part of that, but my company also has to prepare a lot for each of them.
Nice. So how did your friends and family react to your podcasting decision? Like, what was their reaction when you started back then?
I haven't felt a lot of response from my friends and family. What I have felt, though, is that it is building a social network and giving us a lot of information. And to me, this is very important because the more people that work in my profession that knows me and have done something with me, the more likely it is that I get the approach with great ideas and so on. And we recruit many of them as experts in our company, Supertrends. So we have 160 experts in the company who are associated experts. So first I'm there in the studio, I listen. I think, oh, this is interesting. That person knows a lot. That is really central. And then I ask the person, would you like to be an expert in Supertrends? Most of them say yes. And then they become contributing experts to our Supertrends platform. So that's quite useful.
Interesting. And how important do you feel the equipment is for a beginner broadcaster?
It is important, but it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, this is something that has completely turned around over the years. Sometimes when I participate in other people's podcasts, I record locally. And I actually did yesterday. It was in the weekend, but I had somebody who wanted to interview me and just sent me an email of all the questions and asked me to record myself in 4K with my mobile phone answering those questions. And so my phone recorded half an hour in 4K. It takes quite a while to get that onto a cloud and deliver it over to the person. But that makes it possible for them to produce something in ultra high resolution. But in other cases, it doesn't really matter if it's ultra high resolution and if you are spontaneous, if what you say is interesting, that matters more.
Exactly. Like since I run a podcast production company, a lot of people, they want to start their own podcast, but they are like, we don't have certain budget to have a like professional setup, 2-3 cameras, microphones and everything like that. Whereas in reality, as you mentioned, you can do a podcast even with your phone as well.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I have, I'll show you here.
Sure.
These two lamps.
Mm-hmm.
That I set on the very warm temperature. And I also have, I do these things from different places, but I always have a green screen that I can pull up.
Mm, that's nice. Nice. That's nice.
And I have what we're doing right now. I'm doing just with my Microsoft Surface computer camera, but I also have, you know, different alternative cameras. But it's very easy to shift around. So it's important for me to be able to do a podcast with literally a couple of minutes notice, which it sometimes is. I have a daughter who she just moved into her first home that she owns. And in the cellar, she made half the cellar into a place to produce clothes. She sews her own clothes. The other half is a studio. And that is because she's running a business where she's doing a lot of podcasts. And she also wants to walk into a studio, press a couple of buttons. You have the right light, you have the right sound, and everything works.
Cool. So
I think this is something that probably people underestimate how useful it is to have these facilities. For instance, I travel quite a lot around. And I think some business hotels, you know, could do themselves a great favor of having nice places where people could walk in and do podcasts from. Could be a little booth or something like that, you know, with sound isolation, with good light, because sometimes they sit in the bedroom, you know, with super bad light and do it in a bad setting, and it takes no space to make nice facilities for doing this.
How much money you think is reasonable to spend on a podcast episode?
I think if you're a big company and you want to be associated with stuff that is on a very high level, I think let's say you're a big multinational company, you don't mind spending €5,000 or €10,000 or dollars on an episode if it's well produced. If you are, it scales all the way down to nothing, depending on who you are, who your audience are, and also what your image is, because just like in music, you have a genre called indie, where part of a feature of that genre is that it's not, you know, super professionally produced. I think you have the same in podcasts. Very often when I'm driving, suddenly I get a thought, I pull up my phone and I film myself saying stuff. And sometimes these podcasts are quite popular because they're genuine. But if I was running IBM, I would probably not, and was the CEO, I would probably not do that. because the people would think, this is too random. They have to work professionally. And also have sometimes, now as you and I, we have a still setting now, just a fixed background. Sometimes a podcast can actually become quite fascinating if you have a really cool background, computer animated background. And as you know, some of the webinar apps have some quite cool, fascinating backgrounds that you can insert. That can be the right thing in some cases. In some cases, you also want your logo, so that people not only listen to what you say, but they notice
your company as
well.
What is
actually, where does this person work?
Mm-hmm. Good. So, what as a listener, what do you feel is an ideal duration for a podcast episode?
I don't think I can give you a clear answer to that, because I'm a great fan of Lex Friedman from MIT, and his podcasts are up to 3 hours, which is unique, but he certainly found a niche because he has a great following. It's very, very high quality, and there's an audience for listening to a person really tell everything where there's zero time pressure. But if we think about fitting into a situation where you have time to listen to a podcast, so combining that with getting a meaningful amount of content, I think, the very common duration of 55 minutes, 45 minutes will fit into many situations. That could be, transport time, for instance, time. Some people, they're doing fitness training, and then they'll, which may last, a half an hour to an hour. 45 minutes could be good, could be typical. You go into a fitness room, you lift weights or whatever for 45 minutes, and then you listen to one podcast. That's something that works. I don't think they should be too short, because if they're too short, then the hassle in just finding it is almost not worth it if you're only listening to 10 minutes and then it's over. I do think it's important that it jumps into that you get to the meat quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And what's your approach regarding removing the filler words like ums, ahs, and pauses, etc.? Like, what do you prefer, removing them completely or keeping it as it is?
I'll just keep it as it is. The one thing I find really intriguing is deepfake, and that means that you deepfake it to other languages if you have any need for doing that. There's another thing, maybe you can tell me how that is done, but there's another thing that just seems to work very well, especially in trailers. And that is, even if what you have recorded is quite fluent, you cut, 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 So you cut a few seconds out here and there, and that it just gives it an intriguing feel, I think.
Yes,
So.
like it improves the like pace of the recording, and it helps in better like audience attention, in grabbing the audience attention.
Yeah. So what I would like, this is not something we would do, but what I would like to do is run a podcast where, okay, so you go into the studio, you record your, so record voice and video. Video is, the voice is more important because most people will only listen, but you also record video for those who want it and also for trailers. And then you deep fake it in a number of languages and then you have AI summarize it. And that means that if you spend, you know, 1 hour in recording, you actually produce maybe 20 hours of deep faked content plus some summary of what was said. And AI can also grab, it can find interesting quotes from each of the people who participated. And it can also insert those quotes into, for instance, at a graphical format like PowerPoint, for instance. And so I'm not, I don't have that, but I would be interested in integrated solution where you just, you know, three people goes into a studio and then it produces, you know, 40 different media outputs automatically from that. That is something that will be a hugely, it will be hugely productive and in huge demand.
That's interesting. So talking like as you mentioned, like you had multiple guest interviews in your podcast. So what preparation goes from your side in a guest episode, or is it done by your team?
So because we do the episodes about the future, what our my team does is they go into our Super Trans machine, which the Super Trans machine, just very briefly, we've done so far about 75,000 AI prompts and queries, and then to create predictions about the future. So we have 3,800 predictions, and then we have 12,000 historical innovation events. And then every day we have algorithms that scan 5,000 media for 3,000 keywords. So there's a lot of machines working in the background. And then they just pull out from the system what are the most relevant predictions and what is the most recent news. And I just get that. And I get it in the old-fashioned way as a print. And then because I in the studio, I have to focus on the person. I'm not standing with a computer, but I have some paper, and then at some point I read up what are the most interesting predictions for the technology that we discussed today. So they don't spend much time. It takes like 15 minutes or so to pull it out of a system, but it means that I walk into the studio knowing really a lot. So I sound like I'm completely business insider in that subject. What I don't do at all is I don't prepare how I want to speak. That has to be spontaneous. I don't make a I don't plan anything at all. And then I take a few notes during the talk, and then when I wrap up, I just, you know, have my notes that came up there. So I like to be spontaneous. And I know that it takes a while to get there. But once you have some routine, it's better to be spontaneous.
So talking about the like structure, like what do you prefer? Like having a complete script, like complete detailed script, or just like bullet points, or like being completely spontaneous? What's your personal preference?
My preference is to know something about the subject, so that I can speak, you know, on level, but not to have a script at all, nothing.
Okay. And like, how do you balance podcasting with your other commitments like job, family, etc., or business?
Well, it takes like no time, really. If I think of, okay, so it takes time. You go into a studio and do an hour, it takes an hour. But I have 70-hour work weeks, so an hour more or less doesn't really move the dial.
Okay, cool.
And compared to how efficient it is, I think it's so much worth it.
And do you think like podcasting has helped you in your personal growth or personal networking?
Very much. Very much. Now, as you said in the beginning, I'm also an author, but the combination of being an author and doing podcasts, so appearing on other people's podcasts as I'm doing right now, and doing my own, are completely essential in building up a network and getting information. And very often, you must know the same here, but sometimes when I'm talking about something that I know something about, while I'm talking, I get ideas. And ideas that I wouldn't get if I wasn't, focused on it and talking about it.
So, would you mind sharing any funny or unexpected incident that happened just before or after the recording?
Well, I have a very funny incident before I went on a stage at a speech in New York. But with recordings, I had one. I was interviewed, but okay, so this was television. But I was interviewed by Bloomberg in Singapore, and the interview was booked about a technology startups that I had founded, co-founded. And then I arrive at the studio. I come in and they receive me at the reception. Somebody comes down to the reception, gets me into a waiting room, and then he says, "Our schedule is a bit of a mess. So you are on at this time, but we may pull you in earlier, just so you know." And then it just took 2 or 3 minutes. Then somebody rushed in and said, "You're on now," and they stuck on a microphone, and I was in my fine suit and so on. I sit in there, and there's this very nice looking lady talking, and then there was a commercial, and then she turns to me, and then she looks down and say, "Mr. Swede, so what do you think about the markets today?" And I was not supposed to talk about the markets, the financial markets. I was supposed to talk about my technology startup company. It so happens that I've worked in the financial industry, so I could talk a little bit about the markets. But then I said, "But anyway, it was my company that we should talk about," and I just started talking about the company. And then she did like a psychologist, right? So she just bounced everything I said back to me, without adding any information whatsoever. And then it was finished after like 6 minutes, and then new commercial. And then she put her hand on my shoulder and then she said, "I have no idea who you are. I'm so sorry." But I don't think any people in the audience discovered how messy that process was.
And all of this was going live, right?
Yeah, that was live. Yeah, and Bloomberg is big.
Yes.
So
So
I was
that's
laughing all my way back to the hotel afterwards. It was so funny.
cool. So, what's your take about video podcast versus the audio podcast? Like, what's your personal preference?
Yeah, so for me, the way I consume it, how I use it, I sometimes if I for instance, I eat lunch and I'm not with anybody, I go on YouTube and then I actually see video podcasts, and it gives me some value. But when I'm in transport, I listen to audio. And if you ask me which one would you rather be without, then for my life, I would rather be without the video simply because I have more time for the audio. I have probably 3, 4 times as much time for the audio or more than I have for video because, as I said, I do it in transportation and when I do training. I train about an hour a day, so that's 1 hour there. And then I don't have so much transportation, but I may have like 3 hours of transportation a week. So maybe it's 4 hours that where I'm really not able to read or look at anything. And that's where I listen to good podcasts. I like, as I said, Lex Fridman. I listen to Goldman Sachs. I love one called All In, which is on entrepreneurs, investors in the US. I listen to my own just to hear how it sounds and so on.
That's nice. So, like, do you interact with your audience? Like responding to their comments or messages or things like that?
No, I don't do that. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I just want inspiration and insights.
Okay. And do you like see the feedback, like comments or reviews or ratings, like things like that, or no?
No, I never do that. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What will be your advice to someone who's just starting their podcasting journey?
I think because it's a crowded field, right? So there are lots of people doing it. I think you have to be very clear about what it is you're broadcasting about. So you kind of have to build a brand. And then you have to combine really good trailers with your, you know, you have a product, which is where the media experience you want to give. But then trailers can really do a lot to get people interested. And I know it takes some time to create trailers, but there's a AI now that can suggest it for you. Normally it doesn't do it in the same quality, but it's at least it's a good start. I strongly suggest, it's like almost anybody doing anything, but I strongly suggest thinking about how you can use AI in the production process and in the preparation process, because it's so efficient and saves time.
Exactly. So coming towards the end of the show, let's play a quick rapid fire round and then we will end the show. So my first question is, like, what do you prefer, recording early in the morning or late at night?
that would be early in the morning for sure. Like 10 a.m. is my top priority.
Mm-hmm. And one episode that you are most proud of, let's say you want someone to listen to your podcast, what's the one episode that you will recommend or suggest someone?
When we've done all the Supertrans episodes, the one where we just said this was the best ever was one about the future of music. We had a fantastic guest in, and he was using AI to create songs out of the blue, out of nothing. And he was really entertaining and was super insightful. And we told him, we said, you just did the best interview we ever done.
That's nice. So, and one guest that you would love to have on your podcast?
I would love to have the chief analyst at Alpine Macro, which is an economic research bureau, which is one of the best in the world, and talk with him about everything as he sees it for the next year, because he's so insightful.
Interesting. One word you overuse or use the most in your episodes?
I probably say "and" a lot of times, I would assume. I can tell you, without really answering your question, I can tell you one thing I learned when I was very young. I had to do an interview, a television interview, very long, about how I worked. And the journalist said before we start, or producer said, "Lars, it's really good if you say 'I feel' quite a number of times, because that's what people can relate to." And then I realized that anecdotes and what you feel is actually what people can remember for a long time. Facts, they will fade in their memory, but the stories will not. The man who did the biography of Elon Musk, he was on Lex Friedman. And a little part of the interview was about the process of writing a book. And then he said, "Well, my attitude is, let me tell you a story." And sometimes people convey fact without making it into a story. And then you won't remember it that well. It's not that engaging. So the more you can relate to something that happened to you, like the story we had before about Bloomberg, right? where the interview that kind of went wrong. These kind of things are really important to get into what you tell. And I can tell, I can let's say I want to tell a story about a new technology that I think is fascinating. If I can tell the same story by saying, you know, the other day I met this woman and she was working in this, and then she said to me, Lars, have you thought about blah blah? Then I'm telling a story. And then it becomes far more engaging. And in at the end of the day, you know, it's absolutely not just the facts you convey. It is your ability to turn that into a story that makes the day and builds your audience.
Okay, cool.
There's a book I would recommend anybody
sure
actually doing podcasts to read. And this is Talk Like TED.
Talk Like?
Talk Like TED. It's about TED Talk. So it was a person who analyzed that, you know, you have a popularity rating of all the TED Talks. Some of them have been seen by absolutely insane amounts of people, some of them by very few. It was just an analysis of what is the difference between the ones that are really popular and the ones that are not. And I would, anybody who does podcast, I would recommend to read or skim or read a summary of Talk Like TED, because that is about storytelling.
Interesting.
The difference that makes.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that. I will definitely check that out. And what's your like favorite platform to listen to podcast?
I do it on Spotify.
Spotify, right?
And it's simply because that's where I have my music also. So it's Spotify is my like everything platform.
Nice. And one thing you would like to change about your first episode, if there's any.
About my past episode? Well, what I would like to do is... Pardon me?
First episode. The very first episode you did.
I think it would be less... I mean, I was too prepared in a sense for the first episode, because at the first episode I had written down bullet points of what I should cover, and it became too stringent. You know, I think prepare yourself mentally, but once you're in the studio, don't look at anything. Focus on the conversation, because otherwise you're kind of trying to do two things and then you get distracted and then you become too mechanical, I think. And also what we say is when we have guests and they come with piles of paper, we say, we recommend, have you read your own paper? Yeah, I have. Okay. Remove them. Just talk with us.
Nice. One word to describe your podcasting journey. How will you describe your podcast journey in just one word?
Exponential.
That's nice. Well, thank you so much for giving your time, and thank you so much for coming to the show. It was a pleasure having you. And are there any last words?
WhatsApp audio.
Sorry, I just got a call.
No problem.
Yeah, so my last advice about being on podcast is to remember to turn off your phone.
Thank you, Lars. It was a pleasure having you. And that's a wrap on today's episode of The Aspiring Podcaster. It's been an absolute delight to bring you these podcasting journeys. A big shout out to Podcast Bunny for sponsoring us. They really get behind podcasters, offering them support to make podcasting a smooth and enjoyable process. Remember, your voice matters and your story is waiting to be told. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Share this podcast with your friends and join us next time for more behind the scenes action. Until then, keep creating, keep innovating, and keep podcasting.